Hello and welcome to this National Life Skills Academy podcast, part of our series of short introductions to essential life-worthy skills to help guide your way. So sit back and enjoy.
Solving problems is something that we will all do in our lives. Each and every one of us will face problems in every aspect of our lives. It doesn't matter whether the problems are in our personal, professional, or even romantic lives, they still need to be solved. If you want to progress, learn, and grow, then this needs to happen. But because we're all different, all of us will differ in how we approach a problem. And this could actually be a problem in itself. Because if you approach a problem in the wrong manner, you may not be able to solve it efficiently. The issue with problem solving is that no two problems are ever the same. They might be similar, but there could be some small factor that makes them different. And this small factor could change how you go about solving it entirely. Despite this, however, the one thing that remains the same is how you can approach solving a problem. Diving headfirst into an issue without thinking about it isn't likely going to help, but rather hinder your efforts for fixing it. So, you'll need a plan. And the way you can come up with this plan is by following the 7 steps to problem solving. The first step in problem solving is identifying what the issue is. To see what the issue is, ask yourself how it would work should there be no problems. From this point onwards, you can determine what the actual issue is and whether or not it's that important that it needs to be fixed right away. The necessity of certain problems being fixed changes. For example, a parent might find that there's an issue, but the issue itself doesn't need fixing urgently. However, someone who works with technology might have a problem with a specific device, and this could have to work as it should 100% of the time, meaning that the problem needs to be fixed right away. Regardless of what the problem is or how serious it is, the first step is to always identify it. Having identified what the problem is, you now need to analyze it. Try to determine how bad the problem actually is, maybe what it could lead to, and how long it might take to get to that point. If we follow the parents' issue, they might notice their child is misbehaving. One time, they might be able to get away with it, but if this continues to happen, this could suggest that there's an underlying problem, and this may get worse as time goes on. Therefore, solving it is important because if it's left, something serious could happen. Analysing your problems can help determine how soon you should react to them. And this is also helped by the different stages of a problem. Firstly, there's the emergent stage. This is where the problem is not that big of an issue and can be put on the back burner until a suitable way to solve it has been found without causing you too much stress or disturbance. Then there's the mature stage. This is where a problem has arisen and is causing noticeable difficulties. This is most likely where you'll need to step in before it gets worse and enters the crisis stage. The crisis stage is where the problem has caused significant changes and has become something that needs to be dealt with before anything else. At this point, the problem, whatever it might be, could have caused irreversible damage and issues, so fixing it before this stage is very important. The third step is to describe the problem. You might not think it, but describing a problem can go a long way to help you understand what the true issue is. Oftentimes, we can overthink situations and scenarios in our head, resulting in us making them worse than they may appear to be. By simply writing down the core problem, you can focus on what the true issue is, rather than get distracted by things that, at this moment in time, don't matter as much. And when you do this, you can start to work out what the root causes are. In this step, this is where you'll need to ask yourself a lot of questions. Why did this happen? What caused it? Have I done enough to fix it? It's also at this point where you can begin to doubt yourself, and blame could be placed on someone. But the important thing to remember is that solving the problem is what you need to do, and not point fingers. When you've answered those questions, and questions like that, you'll need to make sure that you come up with a solution that helps you answer the question, have I done enough so this doesn't happen again? If you can answer this question, then your problem might not be as bad as you first thought. Now, step 5 is arguably the most important. Solutions aren't one-time ideas. For a single problem, many solutions can be thought of, and many can be used as well. As problems are a pain for all of us in every single walk of life, it's easy to understand why we might want to jump to the first one that we think of. But gaining more alternative solutions is helpful, and could stop you from acting on the first solution that you think of, and only making the situation worse. With our parent, if they learn that their child is misbehaving, the first thing that will likely come to mind is to punish the child. However, following these steps, they might realise that the child is doing it because of another reason. Peer pressure, stress, and bullying are just a few causes, and so punishing a child for going through these things could make the situation worse. It might end up taking a little bit longer to solve, but having more than one solution can prevent you from doing something that you might regret in the future. And now comes the point where you can finally implement them. Now's the time to put your best solution to the test. If you follow these steps, and there's a good chance that your solution will be beneficial. There's no saying that it will definitely be fixed, but thinking before you act might stop you from making the situation worse. And finally, you'll want to measure your success. As mentioned, there's no guarantee that following these steps will solve your issue entirely. Heeding caution is better than rushing in. If you find out it worked, great. But if not, it's not an issue. All you need to do is go back to the drawing board and start the process over. Identify what the issue is. Analyse it. Describe it to yourself and give yourself the most basic understanding of the problem. try to discover the root causes, and then come up with a variety of potential solutions. Implement them and measure their success. Then rinse and repeat until your problem has been solved. Of course, not every problem, though, is going to be as easy to solve as the next. But not only does this come down to the problem itself, but also the individual trying to solve it. We all have our flaws and faults, and there's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to problem solving, solutions are not rewarded to those who think a certain way or have a certain outlook on life. Instead, solutions are granted to those who think rationally, without bias, and who learn from their mistakes and past experiences to help themselves and others in the future. I mentioned bias just a moment ago, and this is one of the most obvious barriers to solving a problem, particularly confirmation bias. Now, confirmation bias is an unintentional bias which affects the way in which we collect and interpret things like numerical data. This means that people will come up with solutions for problems. However, the solutions at hand will be biased towards their understanding of the data and support their analysis and understanding, rather than solving the entire issue at hand. But it's not just numerical data that comes with confirmation bias. If you have an issue with something, let's say a group project that you're working on with a team, there may be an issue with the quality. If we assume that you're the smartest in the group, you may automatically be biased towards someone else. Therefore, when you look at solutions, you may only look at things that confirm your bias and affect them and their work, rather than actually identifying the issue. And as we know, this is an issue in itself, given that identifying is step one. Another issue that arises when trying to come up with solutions is irrelevant information, and on the other hand, information overload. Both of these are at different ends of the spectrum, and both are unhelpful. Many people will try to come up with a solution using the wrong information. This information is neither necessary nor relevant to the initial problem at hand, meaning that the solution you can come up with can be entirely pointless and doesn't help one bit in solving your problem. In contrast to this, information overload is the exact opposite. Too much information can also be an issue, as it overcomplicates the problem. If our parent learnt that the child was only misbehaving in a certain class, then that narrows it down to a specific location with a specific group of people. What the parent would need to know in this situation would be the teacher and a few classmates. Irrelevant information would mean not knowing any of this, or knowing the wrong class. Information overload would mean knowing every little detail about everyone in the class, gaining too much information, and trying to make connections and conclusions that aren't helpful to the problem at hand. There are many barriers that we can face when we try to solve a problem. Many distractions and red herrings. But keeping a clear, unbiased focus on the actual problem at hand, as well as following the 7 steps, can go a long way to help you fix that problem efficiently and effectively, allowing you to learn, grow, and progress, not only with your life, but as a human as well. Thank you for listening to this Life Skills podcast, and we'll speak again soon.
Thanks for listening. We hope you found that to be informative, and you'll sign in to listen to others in the series. We look forward to any requests or feedback. See you again soon.